Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk to you about all your favorite issues and publishers, but first, a bit of news. Unfortunately, my co-host, Josue, is going to be taking a hiatus from the show due to personal issues. Unfortunately, I will be missing him. I will try my best to keep up with the show in his absence. It's kind of hard to do it on my own because one of the best parts about this show is doing it with Josue, to be honest with you. So I'm going to do my best to keep up because we do have some regular listeners and I want to make sure you guys continue to get reviews. So we are going to go ahead and try our very best. But yeah, let's do this together. As always, we start with a bit of comic book news. Let's start with an announcement from Boom, something that I was pretty excited about because I signed up for it before I knew what it was. Boom is going to be releasing a graphic novel adaptation of Jim Henson's Labyrinth that is on Kickstarter. And yeah, I think that's a really cool idea. It's going to be based on the novelization of the film itself. And they've been doing the Henson stuff. They just did the Dark Crystal one as well. It was really, really great. But if you're interested in the Labyrinth one, there's no risk because it was funded 15 minutes after launching and is over $300,000. So make sure to check that out on Kickstarter. I'm not sure how I feel about large publishers using Kickstarter like they're a corporation. But in this case, I mean, I'm happy the book's being made. So that's good. Next up, a little bit of Image news. So a couple bits of Image news, actually. The first one is Image has announced a new 4-part horror miniseries upcoming called A Haunted Girl. And it actually sounds really interesting, so I wanted to tell you all about it. It's going to be written by a father-daughter team, Ethan Sachs, who we're very familiar with, and Naomi Sachs, with art by Marco Lorenzana. As I said, it's a 4-issue mini. Follows the story of a teenage girl named Cleo, who suffers from depression and anxiety, and after being hospitalized due to her suicidal thoughts, she's trying to pick up the pieces of her life. I think this looks really cool. It does come from the Zizigi imprint of Image. And yeah, I really think this is awesome. CBR definitely has a full summary of the series up. So make sure to check that out. This is where I'm getting the information myself. So I want to make sure I give credit to where I got it from. But A Haunted Girl, the first issue should be out on October 11th, 2023. The other bit of Image news I have is, of course, we have San Diego Comic-Con coming up, and Image has announced their lineup for the con. I'm pretty excited about this. I always love con lineups, even when I don't get to go. First of all, they have announced some limited edition convention variants only sold at the Image booth. This is first come, first serve, so make sure to go by and pick them up. First one is Big Game Number 1. Then we have 8 Billion Genies Deluxe Edition Volume 1 exclusive to the convention. I want this so bad. Infernal Girl Red convention exclusive. Also want that. Night Fever hardcover. A Righteous Thirst for Vengeance. Yeah, that'd be great. It's got a convention exclusive dust jacket, which sounds great. Paper Girls and Black Wings collab. And a Black Science statue. So make sure to go check those out if you are able to attend the con this year. I'm very jealous if you do. Also available at the Mad Ghost Productions booth is Geiger Ground Zero, a full-color 8-page convention exclusive ash can. As far as Image exclusive panels, on Thursday at noon, we got the Image Comics Spotlight on the best-selling creator, Jeff Lemire. And it's not the last time I'll be talking about Jeff Lemire in this episode. Friday at 10:30, we got a spotlight on Todd McFarlane. And then at noon, we got one on Rick Remender. We also have Zizigi's publishing at 1:30, talking about their books. At 2:30, we got the Future of the Radiant Black Massiverse, which is one of the ones I really wish I was attending. At 5, we got Cliff Bleszinski turning games into comics. And 6:15, he does a post-panel signing in the autograph area. Saturday, Image Comics Storytelling, Genre and Craft. Spotlight at noon on Spotlight on Alex DeCampisi. 1:30, DeCampi. I don't know why I said Campisi. DeCampi. Alex DeCampi doing a panel signing at 1:30 afterwards. 11:30, comics characters fans will love or hate or love to hate. So that sounds like fun as well. And a full list of the Image signings at the Image booth: Justin Nguyen, Brett Bean, Charles Soule, John Layman, Gary Dugan, Brian Posehn, Scott Koblish, David F. Walker, Sanford Green, Zoe Thorogood, Daniel Warren Johnson, Jeff Lemire, Alex DeCampi, Rick Remender, Shof Coker, Massiverse Group Signing, Charles Soule, Ryan Brown. There's a bunch. You guys can go online and find them. They're really, really great. I will say that I wish Zoe Thorogood all the luck in the Eisners, because I think she should win a lot of them. So, yeah. But yeah, there's a lot more stuff. You can go on their imagecomics.com to see the full schedule. We'll talk a little more about San Diego scheduling actually right now, because Marvel has also announced theirs, and I want to run through those real quick as well. So if you've never been to San Diego Comic-Con before, Marvel does a lot. So I'm not going to have a full list, but there is going to be an official Marvel store with a whole bunch of lists, a whole bunch of merch. There's going to be a bunch of giveaways and such. If you have Marvel Unlimited Annual Pass, you'll get a free exclusive one-of-a-kind Guardians of the Galaxy number 4 variant by Nao Fuji. And it will have Jeff the Land Shark on it. So make sure to go by the Marvel booth in order to get that, which will totally be worth it, I promise. In the booth itself, they also have a schedule up. Some of the things that jump out at me, David proposed doing a signing at 11:15 on a Thursday. There's not a ton usually to do on Thursday, so that's definitely something I would be doing if I were there this year. Zeb Wells doing a signing at 11:15 on a Friday, also really, really great. J. Marshall Straczynski doing one at 4:45 on Friday. And two big ones back-to-back, 11:15 and noon on Sunday. Again, not a lot usually to do on Sundays, but 11:15 is Colin Kelly, Jackson Lansing, and Marco Cicchetto. That's incredible. And then the 12:01 is Gary Dugan, Joshua Kassar, and Pepe Larraz. So definitely some stuff worth checking out. There's also a full signing schedule. You can find that online as well. With that said, I don't actually have any DC news this week, so we're going to go into the rest of the Marvel news now. The next Marvel one-shot, which will come out in August, Voices one-shot, which will come out in August, is going to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the X-Men. So it's literally going to be like Voices X-Men, and that's really cool. I really like this. Obviously, I'm a big X-Men fan. Anyone who's ever listened to the show knows that. Some really great variant covers on this one, and I really like the voices. I like the things they can do with voices. Just these awesome standalone anthologies that can sometimes lead to more. So I really like that. Next up, we did get some more information that Blade is going to be getting a brand new solo series. And I'm wondering if Bloodline shows up, because that book just ended. It was really good. This book is going to be by Brian Hill with art by Elena Casagrande, which I'm a big fan of, and colorist by Jordi Belair. I don't have a letter listed. But yeah, I think coming off of Bloodline, like I said, Blade was great on that. And it's been a while since we've gotten a really good Blade book, you know, a solo Blade book. I can't think of the last one I can really remember. So I'm very excited about that. I think it's going to be really cool. Next up is another announcement. Thunderbolts are coming back again. In this case, they're going to be a group led by Bunky Barnes, and they're going to be very much a spy iteration, written by Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing, which is also like very promising. Art by Geraldo Borges. It's going to have Black Widow, Sharon Carter, aka the new Destroyer, White Widow, Red Guardian, U.S. Agent, and Shang-Chi. I'm very excited about this book. This is going to be really cool, and it's already going on my pull list. So also it will feature Contessa. So yeah, that wasn't on the list, but I do know she's going to be in it. So all really, really great. And then finally, the third book that got announced, guess what? We're going to talk about it later, but Miss Marvel's back, and she's going to be back as a mutant, as we like 80% of us figured out. So it's going to be called Miss Marvel, the New Mutant. And, I'm very, very excited, because it's going to be written by Sabir Prazada and Iman Vellani, the one who played her in the show. I'm very excited about that. I love when people get to do that. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Dreamer. Anyone on the show who listens to the show knows that. Art's going to be by Carlos Gomez and Adam Gorham. And yeah, I'm here for it. Let's see how they explain this. I'm very curious to see how they explain this. And I'm also really curious to see how this ties into the Fall of X, because some of the theorizing has been that the Fall of X is the end of Krakoa. Well, maybe not if she's coming back. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll talk about Krakoa a little bit later. I think Immortal X-Men put a big spotlight on what's going on there. We'll talk then. Next up, Marvel has revealed its comics lineup for its annual Halloween trick-or-treat or Trick or Read, excuse me. It's a comic book store giveaway program. And basically, it's like Free Comic Book Day event where you can stop by and get a free comic book. And it's pretty cool. I do dig it. It's way less known than Free Comic Book Day. It does look like they're going to include titles for Star Wars The High Republic, Moon Knight, Amazing Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, and Spidey and His Amazing Friends. So yeah, definitely want to check that out. Hopefully I'll be able to go this year, unlike Free Comic Book Day this year. So that'd be cool. And then my final bit of news is that Marvel is doing a series of variant covers based on fictional new champions, similar to Spider-Boy. Basically, the idea of what if there were these sidekicks for characters that always existed but were erased, and what would they look like? There's some really, really great ones here. I mean, honestly, I like them all. I think they're really cool. If I had to pick out a few, I love Black Cat's sidekick. I think that's adorable. I think that I love Black Cat in general. I love Baby Doctor Strange. I'm here for Baby Doctor Strange as well. The spiky young thing, I think, is a really, really cool look. And there's just a variety. They're all really cool, to be honest. Oh, and of course, we cannot not mention young girl Magneto. I am here for that, whatever that is. I want that to be real, to be honest with you. But yeah, really, really cool. I love these covers. I'm probably going to be picking a lot of them up. And Marvel does tease in the article that maybe this is a glimpse into the future. And hey, I'm down with that. Let's do it. Let's do something weird. I like that. So that's it for the news. So we're going to move on to our comic book reviews. And before we get into our regular comics, I do want to give a quick shout out to the creative team for Killtopia. Written by Dave Cook, art by Craig Patton, letters by Robin Jones, and flats by Ludwig Olimba. I received this book from Dave. I saw that he had was looking for reviewers, and I was like, I've heard of Killtopia. I've always meant to check it out. Yeah, we'd love to check it out. And I read through it. I sent it to Josue. He also read through it, but again, he's on hiatus, so he's not going to be able to be here to talk about it. But I wanted to quickly give a shout out to this book. It's 4 issues out so far. The 5th issue is coming out soon, and there will be a collection. But there's an amazing, like, future tech, and it's very, like, I don't like to directly compare things to others, but I do like to say if you like X, you'll probably like X. And one thing is, if you are an Alita Battle Angel fan, this is kind of up your alley, but it's a lot grimier. It's a lot grittier. I'm also a big fan of Cyberpunk, the game. I really thought it was a lot of fun. And this also gave me vibes of that. There's a certain like ultra kill feel to it. Like there's something very parody about this, while also being a really interesting, heartfelt story. And I really like it. It's a future where there are bots, there are humans. Humans basically hunt the bots. It's a whole sport thing around it. There's a bunch of very unique people who make their living doing it. They're the new celebrities. They're the new athletes. And there's also this disease caused by the bots that are killing a bunch of humans. And there's this whole thing behind it. And the corporatization of it all is very interesting. I really like when there's statements about corporatization and culture. And this book definitely does that as well. I honestly really enjoyed this book. And I'm really sad I wasn't picking it up as it went. But once the trade is out, I will definitely be picking up the trade for this, because it's really interesting. It's really cool. And I did, like I said, I did send it to Josue. And even though he was not here, I will read you word for word what he told me. He said, nice, I'm into it. And then he pointed out a really cool reference, which I'll let you find of your own, in Killtopia in issue 2. And he says, I like that they're giant sized is what he said. So, but he's not done reading, but I just want to give a quick review of his opinion. So highly recommend. Definitely check it out. Killtopia. You can find Dave on Twitter, and that'd be the best way to keep up with it, I believe, at Dave S. Cook. This is from Bitmap Books. So if you want to follow the publisher, it's at Bitmap_books. So BITMAP_books. So make sure to check it out there, and we'll move on to the next. And as always, we don't start with a bang. We start with a boom. Boom Studios is where we start off our show. And I got a couple books for Boom. First one is Ghost Lore number 3. Written by Colin Bunn, illustrated by Leo Max, colored by Jason Brody, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire. I'm really enjoying this one. This is the one about the father and daughter who were in a car accident, and the mother and brother were killed. And the father and daughter discover that they can see the ghost. And there's this whole lore behind the ghosts just want their story told and they can move on. And it's just really interesting. I'm really enjoying this book. This does go back to them for a good portion of the story and has them have another encounter with a ghost. But it also introduces in a separate scene something of what seems to be the main antagonist. And I really dig that. I think it's really cool. I think it's an interesting book that definitely has somewhere to go. And like I said, Boom doesn't miss when they do horror. So I really enjoy it. Let me know what you think. And my other Boom book of the week is Sirens of the City number 1. And this is going to get a big recommendation from me, in case anyone's wondering. Written by Joanne Starr, illustrated by Kari Randolph, lettered by Ann World Design. I love this. It's this inner city, like, modern aesthetic, but with like a good heaping helpful of like fantasy. And that's kind of like my thing, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I really like, is that kind of stuff. And this ties into more mythical creatures than just straight up magic. And I really like this book. The main character is interesting and fun, but also like not fun in like a fun way, like a character I'm looking forward to learning more about, I guess is the way to put it. And the world is really interesting. The people are interesting. I think it's all coming together as a very, you know, I don't want to use the word interesting 3 times, very intriguing storyline. So yeah, let's see where this goes. I am definitely on board for Sirens of the City. I highly recommend this. Everyone should definitely be checking this one out. So yeah. And next we move on to our next publisher, which is Abstract Studios. And we're going to talk about Parker Girls number 8. I really like Parker Girls. I'm a big Terry Moore fan. In case anyone's wondering, Terry Moore did everything. I'm a big Terry Moore fan. And Parker Girls has been really good. I actually missed issue 7. I never had it. And my shop never got it. And so I'm missing a bit. But I looked it up and was able to catch up here. And yeah, I mean, it does. There's a lot going on. And everything from issue 1 is really coming into play and coming to a head, and just how the little things build up in this, like this spy thriller, basically. And it still amazes me looking back at the beginning of Strangers in Paradise to figure out where we are from here. I love it. It's just absolutely insane. And it's just a really good book. Everyone should be checking it out. Terry Moore is amazing. I cannot wait for my Terry Moore After Dark book that we kickstarted. I should be getting it soon, it looks like. And I will definitely be talking about it on the show because I'm just excited to. So next up is Dynamite Comics. And I have one Dynamite book this week, and I'm very excited about this one. It's Gargoyles Dark Ages number 1. So this is the second series from the Gargoyles property, if you will. And this one is a flashback one. This goes back into their previous life before awakening in a modern age. And I'll be flat on honest, I really enjoyed this book, like, quite a bit. I don't know how to quite express what it does. Like, for me, I think it's just because, like, it goes back to basics. And it's definitely more of an approachable story if you don't know who the gargoyles are. Although, if you didn't watch that cartoon, I don't know, are you 8 or something? But it's really cool, and I love all the designs. And again, I do love a fantasy aspect. I love a medieval aspect. So this really leans into that, and I really enjoy it. This one was written by Greg Wiseman, art by Drew Moss, colored by Martina Pignadoli, and lettered by Jeff Eckelberry, as seemingly every Dynamite book is. But yeah, really, really great. I also got a really great cover. I have high hopes for this book. I'm really, really enjoying it. Might be enjoying it more than the original series, just because of, like, it's a good, fresh look. And yeah, I just love the concept. I think it's really well done. So next up is Oni Press. Haven't had an Oni Press book in a while, but I do have one. And that is a Rick and Morty book, of course. Rick and Morty, Heart of Rickness. written by Michael Marici, illustrated by Priscilla Tramontano, colored by Gabe Fisher, and letter by Crank. I really like this one. It's Rick, Morty, and Summer off on an adventure. Beth and Jerry at home, you know, trying to work on their relationship, essentially. But of course, it doesn't stay that way for them, and they're off on their own adventure. This one definitely feels more like an episode of the show than some of the other comics that definitely feel like this is a comic spinoff of the show. This feels like it could be an episode. And I really like it. I think it's fun. While we're getting rid of, you know, negative aspects of the show, it's nice to have a comic that we can enjoy. So I really should get back into the, or I should start reading the core Rick and Morty book, but it felt like such a challenge to go back. I just don't want to do it. It's an investment, and I buy enough comics as it is. But this one's great. If you're looking for some really great Rick and Morty storytelling, it's a number one. It's a great place to pick up, and it's already a very engaging, fun story. So, and next is IDW Publishing. And I got a couple books for IDW this week. And I'm going to start with a book we've talked about on the show as news, and it's finally out, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles / Stranger Things, number one. This is a crossover between the Netflix show and our favorite Ninja Turtles. Written by Cameron Chittuck, art by Fero P, colored by Sophie Dodgson, and letter by Russ Wooten. Basically, the kids from Hawkins come to New York on vacation, or with a school trip, it sounds like, actually. And long story short, they run into the Turtles, and they have a appropriately half and half villain, half their villain, half their villain, you know, and it's great. And I love there's a bit of an, there's a time skip when they meet the Turtles, so we don't have to go through a full comic of explaining the Turtles' origin and the kids getting over the fact that there's like a, you know, 6 foot tall turtle talking to them. We don't have to see all that. I just love it, but it is funny because it makes it feel like they just accepted it, and I really like that. It's, I know it some people are like, boo, boo, boo. No, it's funny. It's very funny that they're just like, oh, okay. And then Splinter shows up. They're like, wait, there's a rat too. Like, and it's just a great moment. I really like it. I think it's fun. I love nonsense crossovers. Give me more, all of them. I think there's a Care Bears Transformers one. Yes, let's do that. I love it. Let's go. After that is The Return of the Rocketeer in The Den of Thieves. I'm a big fan of what IDW is doing with The Rocketeer. I'm really enjoying it. Story by Stephen Mooney, art and colors by David Messina, letters and design by Sean Lee. This one does dive straight back into the Rocketeer versus the Nazis arc, like that whole setup. And it's really cool. There's a bunch of like knockoff Rocketeers that are Nazi Rocketeers, and Betty has an acting gig, but it seems a little shady. There's a lot going on. I really like this book. I thought it was a lot of fun, but one thing I thought about, and I should have Googled, but I was curious. Have we ever gotten a Rocketeer Captain America crossover in any form? Because I swear to God, that would be the most amazing story. Like, set it in World War II and have them work together, and it could be cheesy as hell. They could win at the end, then, you know, Steve can be like, you're okay in my books or something like that. I'm here for that. I don't know. I think it would be really cool. So, yeah, it does not look like they... Oh, there was a movie. There was a movie. I'm a fool. So, cool. Yeah. Oh, no, wait, no, that's a podcast. Someone made a podcast named Captain America and the Rocketeer? Okay, cool. Anyways, I should have Googled beforehand, but here we are. Moving on to my final IDW book is probably my book of the week, and I cannot wait to talk about this. And I know a certain producer of ours that I'm going to make read this book, The Hunger and the Dusk, number one. Written by G. Willow Wilson, art by Chris Wildgoose, color by Mosaic, and letter by Simon Bolan. This is a, first of all, gorgeously drawn book. Absolutely beautifully drawn. I cannot stress this enough. Check it out for yourself. But it is a fantasy story about a group of humans and a group of orcs who have always been at each other's throats. And now there is a new threat that threatens them both, and they have to come together and overcome all these prejudices and the hatred they have for each other to work together to do this. And this book, I loved it. I love the characters. I love the art. I love the concept. I love basically every single feature of this book was amazing to me. And I love a good fantasy book. We all know that. This is one of the best. This just shot to the top of my indie books of the year. Like, I it's one issue in. I love it. So I highly recommend The Hunger in the Dust. Just look at the cover and you'll want to pick it up, I promise. With that out of the way, we are moving on to Image Comic Books. And we are going to be talking about several books today. The first of which is going to be In Hell We Fight, number 2. Obviously, I have a soft spot for this book because I love John Layman. Written and lettered by John Layman, art by Jock, and colors by Jock and May. This is the one that's actually set in hell, and it's about like a misfit group of kids in hell and their attempts to literally survive hell when they encounter an angel who is in hell and they have to decide what to do with it. I really like this issue. It does a great job of introducing all the characters and their little gimmicks. I think it's very different. It's not something I can even compare anything to. I did get some Hellboy, but like, obviously I don't even know what that came from, but there's nothing I can point to. Maybe I just, cause I like to have recommendations. If you like this, you might like this kind of thing. Maybe Doom Patrol. If you're a big Doom Patrol fan, that might be something. Maybe Umbrella Academy even, actually. I really like it. I think it's really cool. I love the characters. I love the little demon boy. You'll get to know if you read the issue. Really good, fun, original idea from John Layman. And I recommend picking it up. This is the second issue. The first issue is probably available at your local comic book store. Make sure to pick it up and check it out. Let me know what you think, because I think it's really great. But I don't know if my love for John Layman is just shining through. So after that is Stoneheart 5 from Emma Kubert. This book is continually charming me over and over, and I just love it. There is such a great amount of like this wonderful character development with this main character, and the way the predicament she gets into, and like the level of violence that she's subjected to at times is kind of, it feels a little contrary to like the cuteness of the art. Like, the art is adorable, but then also there's like this like true violence where she's like, she gets really hurt, and it's just very interesting to read. I really enjoy it. It's a great comparison. It's a great, I don't know the word I'm looking for. Contrast. There we go. Contrast would be the best word. I really like it. And yes, I do still ship the two main characters together because they're adorable. And yes, she should be happy, and nothing seems to be going her way. So, really great Stoneheart number 5. After that is Star Signs 3. Star Signs 3 is written by Saladin Ahmed, art by Megan Levins, color by Kelly Fitzpatrick, letter by Sean Lee. This is the one with the superpowered people that are, their powers are popping up and they're named after the constellations as they disappear from the sky. I'm really enjoying it. We did get the tease that, well, we did get introduced to the fourth one at the end of the last issue very briefly, and we found out this issue was going to be about finding that one. Well, we find a fifth one too, or we already knew the character. We find out that they are a fifth one. We're filling up pretty quickly. I am digging this. I'm really enjoying the art. I think it's really cool. The characters are a lot of fun. I do love the idea of, you know, this superpowered team. It's always been something that's appealed to me. I've always been a big X-Men fan, a big X-Force specifically fan, X-Factor, New Mutants, but also, you know, a lot of Image, early Image, Cyberforce and stuff like that. I've always been Stormwatch. I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff. And it's interesting to see like the origin of that and wondering how far is this going to go, you know? And I think the character's powers are interesting. There's the shapeshifter who has a pretty cool revelation in this issue, and I'm curious to see where that goes. So definitely Star Signs is worth checking out. Make sure to pick it up because it's definitely one you do not want to miss out on. And after that is a bit oversized Fish Flies number 1. And I did say I would not be done talking to him about him before the episode during the news, but it's by Jeff Lemire with lettering by Steve Wands. This one is so like, it's just Jeff Lemire. I mean, there's nothing you could do to describe a Jeff Lemire book, like, except to compare it to his other books. This one is creepy. It's a real grimy book. It's got a real heart to it, but a heart in a way that, like, someone like myself who spent a long time in a small redneck town can look back fondly on 10% of the town and just dislike everything else about that town. That's kind of how I feel while I read this book, because I was just like, oh God, the reality of these towns and the reality of the lives these people live are just make me really depressed. And this one is just really, really weird and great. And also, like, I don't want to tell you what happens. That's the thing. I want you to read the book. And you should know by now to read the book, because it's a Jeff Lemire book. Every Jeff Lemire book's worth reading. But I just recommend picking this one up. I really think you'll enjoy it. It is a big, thick boy, but it's only $6. So that's not too bad. It's a pretty good deal. And that's another one. Let me know what you think, because I think it's pretty amazing. And then we have Dark Ride number 7. Dark Ride is continuing. I love how long this is going, because I was really worried to be over at 6, and we're at 7 already. Written by Joshua Williamson, art by Andre Brasson. The two of them are the ones that created the series. Adriana Lucas coloring and Pat Brosseau lettering. This is the confrontation with their father, where Samhain and Halloween have to speak with their father, and they have a family dinner with him, and it doesn't go great. And it's the first time we see him really get to lay down the law and be himself, be the guy in charge. And yeah, I really like it. I really enjoy it. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how long this goes, because I absolutely love this book. And it definitely is the kind of story that doesn't go forever. But we'll see. I don't know. I want it to go as long as it can, because I'm really enjoying it. I love the characters and I love the creepiness of it. It's really, really cool. So, and finally, a sleeper for my Image book of the year so far, Deep Cuts number 3. I've been thoroughly enjoying this book. As someone who podcasts about comics and music, that shouldn't be a surprise. That's the two things I podcast about, and this book is about, is a comic book about music. But yeah, written by Kyle Higgins and Joe Clark. Penciled and inked by Diego Greco. Colored by Igor Monte and lettered by Hassan Atzmane Alhau. This is the story of a family man who gave up his music dreams to, you know, provide for his family, to provide a steady job, to not be on the road all the time, to stop drinking. And about the love that he found, but also the love he left behind. And it's really good. I loved all three issues so far, but this is probably my favorite. There's a real humanity to him that is just deeply intriguing and deeply interesting, and something I want to feel. I want to know more. And he's not perfect, but he's a good man. And that's just an amazing, amazing story to tell. And it's also something that'll pluck at your heartstrings and makes you think about your own choices. You know, I can't recommend Deep Cuts enough, but to be honest with Kyle Higgins, everything he does is amazing at this point. So highly recommend, pick it up. Especially if you're a music fan like myself, and tell me what you think. And now let's talk about DC Comics, because we have some DC books this week. Oh, do we? We have some DC books this week. Let's talk about the non-Night Terrors books first. Danger Street, number 7. Written by Tom King, art by George Afonis, colored by Dave Stewart, and lettered by Clayton Cowles. As I said, I'm starting to turn around on this book, and then I'm starting to get into it. I'm starting to get in the rhythm of the book. I think I needed to, like, really catch the rhythm. I think that's the big thing. I think the thing I like the most about this book, there's two things. I love Chief Warner. I think she's my favorite part. This police chief, and she does not take anyone's shit, and I really, really enjoy her. I also am really starting to like the little kids and their interactions in the jail. I thought in this issue specifically, that was really a lot of fun. I really thought it was cool and interesting, and I want to see where this goes, what this builds up to. Very, very interesting. So, next up, Batman Incorporated number 10. well, let me get the creative team for you. While I do, I would say the thing I was most hesitant about when the book started is that it launched with like 15 characters. And I was like, there's too many characters. Well, I worried that Ed Brisson listened to me. So, written by Ed Brisson, art by John Timms, Michelle Bandini, and David LaFuente, color by Rex Locus, and letter by Clayton Cowles. Yeah, so Joker Inc.'s plan comes into play, and not everybody makes out, is what I will say. As someone who's not a fan of the Joker, I am enjoying the story. I think it's interesting. I think a lot of these Joker variants, if you will, are really fun. I'm kind of worried about some of the characters I really enjoy. I don't know. We'll see. It's interesting. I didn't even know who was Wingman at the time, because last time I heard Wingman, it was Jason Todd. So it's obviously not Jason, but spoiler, he's one of the ones that dies, it looks like. And I have no idea who that was. So I could Google it, but I don't remember reading anything. So, but yeah, we're definitely narrowing down the cast, and we're seeing some true faces amongst the group. And the whole decision of whether to kill or whether not to kill is, it's interesting. And it's an interesting debate. And it's a debate that Batman fans have been having for decades. So it's cool to see it in a non-Batman book, like non-Bruce book, and being done by somebody who, you know, models himself after Batman, but does not claim to be a Batman. And that's what makes the story really interesting. I'm curious to see where that's going to go. Next up is Wildcats number 9. I love Wildcats so much, and I'm vaguely worried that something's going to happen to this book because of the announcement about the Birds of Prey. And I hope it doesn't, because it's a great book. Yeah, so let's get into it. Written by Matthew Rosenberg. Art by Danny Kim and Tom Derenick. Color by Omar Santos and letter by Ferran Delgado. I have been really enjoying this, as I said. This does wrap up the Grifter in the Other Universe story. And it wraps up in, I'm not going to say explosive fashion, because that's a pun and I hate it. I will say that Backlash is in this book, and Backlash is my favorite Image hero, so this book automatically gets an A from me. But yeah, overall, I really enjoy it. I do like what they're doing with the characters. I'm really starting to like the new version of Fairchild, of her as a little girl who has to transform. I actually really enjoy that. And obviously Zealot. I love Zealot. She's great. And Grifter. Grifter's the best. I mean, if you were a kid reading Image Comics, a boy, I should say, reading Image Comics, you wanted to be Grifter. That's who you wanted to be, right? Like, yeah. And he's just great. He's just charismatic and also kind of a mess. And I really enjoy that. So, yeah, great. Great book. Love it. Let's see where it goes. And next is Spirit World 3, a standout book from DC as of late. Written by Alyssa Wong, art by Haning, colored by Sebastian Chang, and letter by Janice Ching. Xanth and Constantine, they're on their mission. They're continuing their mission, and they do meet back up with Cassandra in this one. And I love Cass's outfit in this story. It's really, really great. And I love the lore. I love everything they're doing with these characters. I think it's a lot of fun. Of the three books that came, the three big books that came out of AAPI month, Vigil, this, and City Boy, this is probably my favorite. I like all three. I really do enjoy them, and I'm getting all three. But this is probably my favorite. I really enjoy it. I'm a big fan of Alyssa Wong's work. I think they do a great job. I can't think of a book that Alyssa makes that I don't enjoy. And so the only Star Wars book I buy always is Dr. Aphra. So, yeah, highly recommend. This is an amazing book. And I really think if everyone gave it a chance, they would really enjoy it. Now, let's talk about some Night Terrors. Night Terrors books and crossovers. Let's launch in. Night Terrors number 1. This is for the main series. There's a whole bunch of one-shots we'll talk about in a minute. Two shots, it sounds like, actually. But yeah. But this is the main book. So Night Terrors, number 1. Written by Joshua Williamson. Art by Giuseppe Comancoli and Stefano Nessi and Caspar Vingard. Colored by Frank Martin and Caspar Vingard. And lettered by Troy Pateri. This one sets up kind of like the main arc. And it really establishes Deadman as the main character, which he should be, because Deadman is great. One of Josue's favorite DC characters. So it also features the return of a character, which is the spoiler at the end, so I'm not going to tell you who, but it does set up this world where this bad guy is looking for the Nightmare Gem, which is in someone's nightmare, presumably hidden in someone's nightmare. And so that's why everybody's having these nightmares, is so he can search them. It's a cool premise. It definitely kind of smacks of like a story to get to a point, not the story is the point, I guess. So they're like, hey, let's do a crossover where everybody's worst nightmares come true and we can see what happens. Okay, cool. How do we do that? And then it was kind of like, you know, backwards, like, but I'm enjoying it. I really think it's interesting. I think that, again, anything with Dead Man in it is going to be great. So yeah, that book is really good, but we're going to start talking about the one shots as well, because I've really been enjoying those too. So let's start with the Night Terrors of the Flash, written by Alex Pagnadel, art by Daniel Bayless, color by Hugo Marte, and letter by Simon Bolan. This one's really good. I really like this one because it is about the Flash family in a way. And specifically, it's about Barry and Wally, and to a lesser extent, Jay. And with Barry as the main character, Barry appears to be the one dreaming. And he dreams of what's his worst nightmare. It's that he can't protect the people he loves. In this case, it's Wally. And yeah, it's really cool. Lots of really great imagery. It's very much a Flash book. If you like Flash, you're going to enjoy this. Lots of like this world, but not like something's wrong, but he only barely notices things. I'll just say Hal. Hal Jordan definitely is not the same in this world, and he doesn't quite pick up on it. I really like that. I like that where, and that's going to be a reoccurring thing when we talk about these books, where there's a point where your brain makes excuses in your dreams for things to make sense so that the story can be keep going told. We've all experienced that. So that's definitely something that happens here. And I really like it. I think it's really cool. And I'm curious to see where this one goes. Next up is Night Terror's Green Lantern. Speaking of Hal. So this one actually comes straight out of the Green Lantern series, literally on the plane that he was on in issue 2. Written by Jeremy Adams, penciled by Eduardo Pensica, inked by Julio Ferrara, colorist by Luis Guerrero, and letter by Dave Sharp. This one is kind of like the worst days of Hal Jordan kind of thing. It talks about the death of his father. It talks about Abin Sur and everything with Sinestro, and it's really, really good. And it wraps up really nicely in the end with a bit about Parallax. And I love that. I think it's really cool to like go through Hal Jordan's Hall of Shame. Like, I don't hate Hal. I hate Kyle, but I don't hate Hal. I think he's great. And he's just not my favorite Green Lantern. But it is cool to see those, because there's a really significant era of Green Lantern where he was the Green Lantern. He was kind of a dick. And I think that's interesting to revisit that. So the next one is Night Terror's Robin. This one, I'm not going to lie, I really enjoyed the book, but I was really hoping it was about Damian. And I opened up, and the first person I see is Tim. And I'm like, no, I hate Tim. But we'll talk about why I loved it in a moment. Written by Kenny Porter, art by Miguel Mendonca, color by Adriana Lucas, and letter by Tom Napolitano. So this is actually essentially a team building exercise in a nightmare between Jason and Tim, which is kind of genius if you think about it, because they're the two Robins who have nothing in common and fucking hate each other. And so it's time for them to do that. Now, if you read Wayne Family Adventures on Webtoon like I do, you know they work out like their differences, and they just have a begrudging respect, but also hostility, joking hostility. But in the main DC canon, they never really worked their things out. And I think this is really interesting to put them in a situation they kind of have to. Obviously, I love the Jason half of it because Jason's my favorite. And them facing their worst fears is definitely interesting. I basically, Tim's worst fear is when his father was killed by Captain Boomerang and trying to stop it. And Jason's is when he was beat to death by the Joker with a crowbar. Of course it is. It's always the crowbar, everybody. And also part of that is his mother. Like, that's the part that gets lost a lot when people talk about that story, is the fact that his mother betrayed him. Like, that's a pretty significant part of that story. And you always hear, like, you know, Jason Todd was killed by the Joker, but the mother part of it's a very important part, and it's usually glossed over in a lot of explanations. So I'm glad that it's here. And the fact that I think these two might have to do like a switcheroo and like take on each other's worst fears. I think that's a cool idea. I'm here for that. So let's do it. But that's just a prediction. Next up is Night Terror's Shazam. And let me tell you, this is actually Night Terror's Mary Marvel. And you do not understand how happy that made me because I love Mary Marvel. Written by Mark Waid, penciled by Roger Cruz, inked by Wellington Diaz, colored by Arif Prianto, and lettered by Troy Pateri. Yeah, it is basically Mary running herself ragged, trying to help everybody, and her worst fear is that she's not able to save her family when she needs to. And I thought that was really, really well done here in a very twisted and disturbing way. I can't, like, the last few pages of this issue are just genuinely disturbing. Probably the most disturbing shit I've seen in Night Terror so far. So yeah, very interesting. I would definitely recommend picking this one up, but anything with Mary Marvel in it, I always recommend, so you can't trust me there, but it's totally worth it, I promise. So and our final DC book and final Night Terrors book is Night Terrors Zatanna. I should mention that all of these, I have the Dust in the Wind covers for every single one of them, and so you'll see those on the Twitter post, but yeah, they're absolutely gorgeous, but I just wanted to go ahead and give credit while I'm still on the subject. Written by Dennis Culver, drawn by David Baldion, one of my favorites, colored by Rain Burrito, and lettered by Pat Brasseau. It is Zatanna, and she is trying to protect the bodies of Wonder Woman and Detective Chimp as they're asleep, having their nightmares. And so basically she uses a spell to summon backup because she's getting attacked by these creatures. And the spell summons somebody who isn't asleep. And who is not asleep? But Robot Man from Doom Patrol, which is very interesting. Crossing over Doom Patrol into this is a really good idea. It's a unique team up, obviously, and it's very interesting. You know, there's like a person of magic, person of technology. It's you know, obviously a very clear comparison. And I really like the mystical nonsense we get into with Zatanna. I really love it. Like, obviously the backwards spell speaking and stuff, but like, I love this magical, like safety room that they have where they can keep all magic out. I love that idea for the Justice League, and they just need to get there. And it's just a really well told, fun story. And I'm happy Zatanna got a spotlight here because in the last crossover, The Lazarus Planet, she was kind of just immediately shelved because she's too powerful. And like, so I was like, I want to see more of her. So I'm really liking this. I'm thinking she's going to play a key role in the overall story. And at least I'm hoping so. So. And that takes us on to our final publisher of the week. And that is going to be Marvel Comics. And we have a couple. We're going to go through them together very quickly. First of all, Warlock Rebirth number 4. I'm not going to jump too much into this. Written by Ron Mars, penciled by Ron Lim, inked by Don Ho, colored by Romulo Farhunter Jr., and lettered by Joe Sabino. We're on issue 4. We don't typically give too in-depth reviews, but this one does open with an amazing Spider-Man Daredevil scene, which I highly recommend. But it's been a good run. I'm really enjoying it. And curious to see where we go from here after this, because there is going to be another series from this creative team as a sequel. So we'll see. We'll talk about it then. After that is Groot number 3. Once again, not going to jump too much into this one. I'm loving this flashback tale with Captain Marvel and Groot and his friends. Written by Dan Abnett. Artist Damian Cosiero. Color by Matt Meehan. Letter by Travis Lanham. It's been really interesting. And the fact that the bad guy here appears to be, you know, Groot's own people. He's also a Flora Colossus. And being this is a flashback and what we know about Groot now, it's very curious to see what's going to change about his past based on this. So very cool, very interesting, really cool last few pages too. So definitely check that one out. After that is a pair of Loki books. First of all, What If Dark Loki number 1. I really appreciated this book because I am old. Written by Walter Simonson, penciled by Scott Eaton, inked by Cam Smith and Scott Hanna, colored by Andrew Dahlholz, and lettered by Travis Lanham. This goes back to when Loki stole Mjolnir after stealing the magic from Carnilla. And it's like, what if he kept it? And Loki goes through this absolutely batshit crazy slaughtering of various Thor characters to take over the world. He initiates Ragnarok. It succeeds. And he obviously doesn't think, oh, I just, you know, I had to ally myself with the most powerful beings in the universe and I can't defeat them. And it's kind of his own downfall. I really liked it. It's definitely the throwback to that Simonson era. And that's my favorite era of Thor and some of my favorite comics of all time. So it's fun. I'm really excited for this What If series if they're all going to be like this. Next is the mainstream or mainline Loki book number 2. This one is written by Dan Waters. Art by Germán Peralta, color by Mike Spicer, and letter by Travis Lanham. This one is really cool because it's about Loki trying to get the pieces of the fingernail ship back from being scattered across the world, or across the realms, I should say. And in the process, Loki does transform into Lady Loki. And without Lady Loki's crown, Lady Loki is a hottie. Let me just tell you that. I love the way she's drawn in this. It's amazing. And it's almost as if Loki wins without really lifting a finger. And I think that's the best way to tell Loki's story. Loki should talk their way into succeeding and just not have to lift a finger. I think that's amazing. So really, really, really good book. Highly recommend that one. So next up, a controversial book for some people. We're going to talk about Fallen Friend, The Death of Ms. Marvel. I will say I really enjoyed this book. I did not think Ms. Marvel was going to stay dead. I'm not stupid. Obviously, they're going to bring her back, and you could probably figure out why they wanted to do what they did. That's perfectly fine. I also don't feel she was killed to help Peter Parker. I think that Marvel decided she needed to die and be brought back and decided to do it in Amazing Spider-Man. I think it went the other way. I think it was a decision for her character, not for his. But that's just me. I'm not privy to any background meetings or anything like that. Written by G. Willow Wilson, Mark Waid, and Saladin Ahmed. Art by Takeshi Miyazawa, Humberto Ramos, and Andrea DeVito. Inked by Victor Olazaba. Colors by Ian Herring and Edgar Delgado. And letter by Ariana Mayer. So it is literally the ceremony of the death of Kamala Khan, as well as Ms. Marvel, who not everybody there knows they're both the same person. And I think it's very interesting. It's very touching. A lot of people show up. A lot of characters that are directly related to her show up, and it's really interesting to see them there and to give their time and to have to, you know, be talking about Ms. Marvel when they know it's Kamala Khan, you know, like that's just super interesting. I should also mention there is a QR code in the back. Make sure to scan it. It gives you an extra page of story. That's very important to know what's going to be happening in the future. Although we already kind of talked about in the news, just check it out for yourself. It's great. After that is Scarlet Witch, number 6, written by Steve Orlando, art by Lorenzo Tametta, Sarah Pacelli, color by Frank William, and letter by Joe Sabino, and I got my catchphrase, Peach Momoko cover. I really love this issue. It is Wanda visiting her son and his husband, and so that's fun. I really think that's cute as hell, and it's them working together. I love Wanda touching on these rarely used and or sometimes never mentioned before ideas in the Marvel universe, and in this case it's someone who was wronged by the Kree Skrull Empire, there we go, and trying to get essentially revenge and finding the truth of it, and Wanda becoming their ally. And I really liked it. I thought it was really cool. I love this lore we're building for Wanda right now, where there's all these supporting characters around her, and there's these nemesis turned tentative allies that I think is really fun. There's a lot going on. And with the big crossover coming up, I'm really hoping people start reading Wanda, because I really want this book to continue. And I know that the writer mentioned that it's not selling the best. And that's just a crying shame, because it's amazing. So everybody start picking this book up. It's great. And next, Moon Knight 25. Oh boy. This is when I need Josue. Because holy crap, dude. Like, I need his opinions. Written by Jed McKay. Art by Partha Pratim, Alessandro Capuccio, Alessandro Vitti, closed by Rochelle Rosenberg, and letter by Corey Petit. It is Mark, or Moon Knight, and all of his personalities, I should say, trying to find out who the Black Spectre is. And it does kind of involve a tour through Mark's past, including the first comic introduction of Layla. I really liked this, and it's setting up the actual introduction of Layla as a hero or as a mass character. We'll see coming up. And I was a big fan of the Moon Knight show, and Layla in particular was just an amazing addition to the mythos. So seeing her added in here, I think, is a really, really great idea. Doing kind of a tour of what's been happening in Moon Knight since Jed McKay took over. Lots of characters coming back, lots of villains specifically in this issue. I think it's cool. I think it's really cool. And let me just say, MVP of the week. I'm going to have no context for this. You all can look for yourself. 8-Ball is MVP of the week. Good job, 8-Ball. You're the boy. So, yes. And with that, let's swing over to the streets in New York for some Spidey books. First up, Red Goblin number 6, written by Alex Pacnadel, drawn by John Bazzodua, colored by Dave Curiel, and later by Joe Caramagna. I won't jump too much into this one. This is going to continue Normie's core story after the little Carnage side story, where he is fighting the Goblin Nation, specifically the new Goblin Knight. And Normie's also having problems with his symbiote, who doesn't want to obey him. I think it's fun. I think it's a really interesting story because the symbiote doesn't like these negative emotions and what it does to Normie and what it gives the symbiote from Normie. And that's an interesting thought. They have to be, you know, they're symbiotes. They're symbiotic by nature. And yeah, what does it mean in the end? You know, like, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what goes on from here. So I don't anticipate Normie staying with the symbiote for too long, just because to get things back to normal, I think that's the kind of thing that gets reset. But I could be wrong. We'll see. And after that is Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 8. Written by Cody Zeglar. Art by Federico Vicentini. Colored by Brian Valenza. And letter by Clayton Cowles. Yeah, I really like this one. First of all, they're at a street food festival, which, yeah, I'm here for. It's Miles and Starling and some friends. And they have a conflict eventually with Hobgoblin. And I think it's really cool and really well done. I'm kind of watching Starling a bit and wondering if she's going to be around much longer, either in this book or whatever. It's just really interesting. I'm kind of curious because she keeps coming up in these really dangerous situations. And in this case, it looks like she's about to get jumped by somebody and we cut away. So we'll see. I'm curious to see what's going to happen there. But I've really been enjoying Miles. I think it's been a lot of fun. Again, just like the previous book, it did have that crossover into the Carnage storyline for a while. Obviously, it impacted Miles the most of everybody. And he talks about in here about the near-death experience he had. And that puts a really interesting angle on everything. I think it's really well told. Next up is Amazing Spider-Man number 29. Written by Zeb Wells, penciled by Ed McGuinness, inked by Mark Farmer, colored by Marcio Meniz, and letter by Joe Caramagna. This is about Doc Ock's extra set of arms, his old arms, and now they befriended J. Jonah Jameson. We're taking up from that story. And basically, Peter has to save Norman, and the arms know where to go. They basically make Peter put them on. And Peter spends very amounts of precious time making them Spider-Man themed, which I think is fantastic. Coloring them. I'm just imagining him sitting there with spray paint while Norman's being tortured. It's just very funny to me. But yeah. Basically, Doc Ock is torturing Norman and trying to get him basically to confess and to remember things he did to him. And Norman's like, hey, that's all erased, man. I'm not that guy anymore. And so we get this crazy ultimate threat, which is Doc Ock being like, I'll make you that guy, and put goblin serum directly into Norman's arm. After all, everything that's happened, it's so interesting to see this and to wonder what the effect is going to be. I mean, his sins are gone. Is he going to be a good person with the Green Goblin serum in him? I don't know. We'll see. But very interesting idea. Very interesting angle to go. And finally, our Krakoa books. X-Men Days of Future Past, Doomsday number 1, Obviously, this isn't the Days of Future Past future, and it's literally telling the history of that future, which I thought was a really cool idea. Written by Mark Guggenheim, penciled by Manuel Garcia, inked by Cam Smith, colored by Yun Nitro, and lettered by Clayton Cowles. Obviously, there are characters that are going to make it through, but almost everybody is kind of expendable in this book, and I think it's very interesting. A lot of people die right off the bat, including two characters we meet like two pages before that provide a very interesting angle. This issue specifically is very much about the history, catching us up, and I really enjoy it. The one thing I don't like about this, but it's nothing to do with the creative team, is in this future, it does seem like it's Kitty and Colossus, which is my least favorite comic book couple of all time, but I can't hold that against the creative team. That's a Marvel decision. So other than that, really, really great book. So next up is Immortal X-Men 13. Man, I need a sway. Written by Karen Gillan, art by Lucas Wernick, colored by David Curiel, and letter by Clayton Cowles. This is the fall of the Quiet Council. I'm not going to get too much into it. Read it yourself. But basically, the Quiet Council itself has outlived its usefulness and is disbanded. And whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing remains to be seen. So we're almost there. We're almost to the Hellfire Gala and the Fall of X. We will see. After that, Rogue and Gambit number 5, wrapping up this series that I've thoroughly enjoyed. I really think this has been a lot of fun as a little side story that's actually ended up being way more important to this arc than people probably thought. Written by Stephanie Phillips, art by Carlos Gomez, colors by David Curiel and Proto Bunkers for Cervantes Sujo, letter by Ariana Mayer. This is all about Manifold and Destiny telling Rogue, hey, we have to protect Manifold. He has a role to play in the very near future, which makes a lot of sense. He's incredibly powerful, and I'm kind of curious to see what that role is. And I'm kind of worried about the guy because it might require him sacrificing himself, and that's a real bummer because he's amazing. So, but this does wrap it up. It also, you know, helps fix the fractures we started to see in the Gambit-Rogue relationship, which is good because they're the most stable relationship in the X-Men, so I'm happy to see that. It also has a gumbo recipe, and if you don't think I'm going to make that gumbo recipe, you're wrong. I'll report back later on. And the final issue is X-Force 42, wrapping up this future jaunt to take out the evil beasts in the future. Written by Benjamin Percy, art by Paul Davidson, color by Guru FX, and letter by Joe Caramagna. Really interesting. With them coming back to Krakoa after defeating him, like, you know, spoilers. And with Colossus, with Peter, the tease of what's wrong with him being mind controlled and solving it. And maybe we have some hope with Domino in the future. We'll see. I don't want to spoil anything, but I really liked it. I thought it was really well told, and it's just so intriguing. They're building this whole arc across so many books to a point that I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, it's just been absolutely amazing. So highly recommend all X books, of course, but this one was really good. So, and that's it for all the books that I picked up this week. I don't have any other things to talk about as far as reading goes. We've been really busy over here, so we will wrap up with that. Those are the issues that we had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find the show at WHI Podcast on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find our producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. And you can find my normal co-host Josue at Josue Reads Josue. He'll still be on there. Make sure to give him a shout out. Tell him you love him. You can also find our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo. We are currently on hiatus for that show, but it's our musical playlist building show where we get a randomized category and we build a playlist around that category. I recommend going and checking our earlier episodes, especially the Pride episode. I'm very proud of that. And checking those out. When we are back from a hiatus, you will get an announcement on there. So it's the best place to find it, at Jukebox Vertigo. And finally, I don't know when he'll get a chance to do it, but follow Josue on Twitch at Josue Plays Josue. He likes to play some games. He likes to do listen parties when we're off hiatus. He does a lot of great stuff on there. He's the only Twitch I subscribe to, so make sure to follow him on there and make him feel happy. Other than that, those are the issues that we had this week. Don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week with a new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.
Hey there, Screen Beans. Have you heard about Screen Snark?
Rachel, this is an ad break. They aren't Screen Beans until they listen to the show.
Fine. Potential Screen Beans. You like movies and TV shows, right?
I mean, who doesn't? Screen Snark is a casual conversation about the movies and television shows that are shaping us as we live our everyday lives.
That's right, Matt. We have a chat with at least one incredible guest every episode, hailing from all walks. We've interviewed chefs,
writers, costumers, musicians,
yoga teachers, comedians, burlesque dancers,
folks in the film and TV industry,
and more.
We'd be delighted for you to join us every other Monday on the Certain POV Podcast Network.
Or wherever you get your podcasts, fresh and tasty off the presses.
What? But that's... No, that's not...
Can I call them Screen Beans now?
Fine.
Screen Beans!
So tune in and we'll see you at the movies or on a couch somewhere.
Because you're a whole Screen Beans now.